okay with this?
Okay. I'd like to also recognize the people that worked on this project with us, Martha Zarate, who is from the Fresno County Economic Opportunities Commission and is also the program director, and also Eric Krenz, who is with California State University of Fresno as well. Also, I need to make acknowledgement to the people who funded our project. We were funded to do this particular project by the California Department of Health Services under a tobacco control section contract. It's been very clear that secondhand smoke poses a danger to people who are exposed. When we look at some of those more private places, again, we've been looking at housing issues, and smoke-free multi-unit housing continues to be a problem due to increases of respiratory problems that are shared because of the shared living space. People experience things like exposure reactions like allergies, asthma, COPD, emphysema. In senior housing, there's also been concerns raised about issues like smoke detectors going off, or having people who are already seriously ill have complications as a result of exposure to tobacco smoke, and then having just smoke exposure in their own environment there. For many people who have had, for example, in one of our senior housing projects, we've had people who are actually on oxygen while they're smoking, and so people are concerned about the potential for having some kind of negative outcome that would impact everybody, like the place blowing up. Yes. So. This is becoming a more of an issue in terms of where people are sharing spaces. We also know that with young children, there are serious consequences when a child is exposed to secondhand smoke. And in data gathered in the California Tobacco Survey, 70% of Californians agreed that apartment complexes should require that half of their rentals be smoke-free. The purpose of our study was to look at what were those barriers and opinions to smoke-free policies among multi-unit housing complexes, in particular looking at owners, managers, managing companies, and other people who would be impacted. So our target population that we wanted to address and to talk with were multi-unit and public housing owners, managers, managing companies, and others such as residents. And in particular, our emphasis was looking in rural California County. In collaboration with the California Apartment Association and with the California Coalition of Rural Housing, the program delivered an intervention that focused upon educational and informational presentations, usually 30 to 40 minutes in length with the key people who would have influence over the policies, as well as providing them with technical assistance on how to implement policies and the kind of resources that they would need if they were looking at considering this kind of a policy. We used key informant interviews, and in the key informant interviews, we wanted to identify the issues that had to do with the potential of adopting of policies. In particular, we were interested in how long had that apartment manager or owner been operating the complexes, how many units did they have, were they aware of any of their tenants who smoked, what were their perceptions about the illnesses that would be caused by secondhand smoke, what were the effects of the smell of cigarettes on their ability to rent to potential patrons. What would be the benefits of having a policy, as well as what would be those drawbacks to a policy? How likely people were to rent if they had smoke-free housing policies in place? And how much of housing complexes did they think that they should have allocated for smoke-free? We interviewed a total of 21 managers. The mean length of time that they had been in management was 10.6 years. They ranged from 6 months to 25 years. And the number of apartment complexes ranged anywhere from 12 to 360 units. Three-fourths of our respondents indicated that they were aware that they had smokers in their units. And many of them were able to identify the typical kinds of diseases or outcomes that are associated with secondhand smoke, such as cancer, asthma, allergies, lung cancer, heart disease, shortness of breath. One person indicated it affects your lungs, and somebody also said it causes death. When we looked at some of the, and I'm not going to go over every one of the comments that I included here. I tried to keep the comments more succinct and look at some of the themes that we found. Many people found that in terms of the smell in the apartment, that there had been no effect on their potential to rent. However, there were some other very interesting comments. One person said that they actually had a cancellation from somebody who was intending to rent, had already put the down payment down, but canceled it because of the smell in the apartment. Some of the other things that were identified, that sometimes people just don't like the smell, and so they're more resistant to rent from them. People complain about it coming in from outside, so if people are smoking in the doorways or in covered areas, that it can filter back into the apartments themselves. One person didn't think there was much effect, and another person said, no effect, it just stunk. Cost of remediating or repairing an apartment once a smoker had been in there was a continuous theme that we heard. That one person said that it cost anywhere from $500 to $1,000 to repair an apartment when a smoker had been renting from them. That the it's not just the cost as well, but the downtime that it takes to repair the apartment. They have to replace everything. They have to repaint the walls, prime them, paint them. Even if they try to take some of the smell out of the carpeting by bringing carpet cleaning equipment in, that oftentimes it leaves the smell in the apartment. So oftentimes they have to replace the carpet altogether. Most often, again, the renting of machines was a significant cost, and the recovery of those costs in terms of security deposits typically exceeds what they can get in a security deposit from somebody. Some of the benefits that we found were things that people thought it would just be much more healthy not to have the smoke around, that it destroyed so much of the apartment and made it so significant that for them it was much easier to not rent to somebody, so that was a benefit to them. It was very interesting, too, that one person indicated not only does it reduce the cost, but they felt they got a better class of tenants. So there's still this stigmatizing that's coming in now with somebody who smokes. So, again, when we started looking at some of those benefits, they keep coming back to issues about the repair in the apartments. Some of those drawbacks, again, had to do more with the cost, the potential loss of patrons, that typically when people smoke very little or they're very careful about their smoking and how they smoke and where they smoke, that they have the potential to lose them. They may lose good tenants that they've had that have been long-standing tenants because they wouldn't be able to rent to them. Families would be another potential area. If a smoker has a family, then they're going to lose people who have friends or other family members who smoke. One person indicated that half their tenants would have to move out. However, one person was very interesting. She says she has no problem with it whatsoever, that if her tenants are very happy with it, and one of them just said that if it becomes a problem, I just give them a notice, have them evicted, they're gone. In terms of those likelihoods, the people are not seeing much of a change right now. Some people thought that, yes, they would have some problems in terms of potential, that people are looking for places that they can live. And so now we're starting to see, again, more people who are looking for smoke-free housing. So they thought that more of their market might be those people who have health issues and people who do want to live in a healthier environment. Some of the key populations that they identified were senior housing, that it's a potential that many seniors may want to live in an environment that is smoke-free. And one of those complications we've seen in other areas has been that many of the older people have other underlying conditions such as asthma, COPD, and if they're exposed to cigarette smoke, it causes more complications from their existing conditions. So they may end up having extended medical visits because of those extended exposures. In some cases, people were looking at expectant moms and young families might be another target population. There was a lot of variation into what individuals thought would be the amount of allocation that they should have for smoke-free housing units in their complexes. In some of them, again, our comment with the one person saying, I have 104 units, many people are considered about smoking. If smoking becomes a nuisance, 3-day performance can be filed, which is what we would call they could be evicted within 3 days. But it ranged anywhere from 2/3 down up to 100%. Quite a variation in terms of what people were looking at. So in conclusion, what we found is that a lot of our interview participants were very supportive of having smoke-free housing units. When we were looking at, in terms of the managers, that many of the concerns that they had would typically be affecting their ability to rent or in the cost that it takes to remediate. And that overall, we found that the managers were very receptive and perceived that having a policy would be very beneficial to them. Our next step at this point is that we are not only asking for more voluntary policies to be adopted, but this is the kind of data that we're now taking to city councils that we want to tie to the issuing of a permit to have buildings, that people who are potentially building apartment complexes will have an allocation up front that they will designate that a percentage, at least 50% of their housing will become smoke-free in order to be able to get that permit to do the building. So I'd like to thank you.